This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Hello and welcome to Just Women, the weekly talk show on Brooklands Radio. It's Just Women for the next hour, talking to really interesting and inspirational women about a variety of subjects. I'm Yvonne O'Brien and my co-presenter today is Anne Twist. Hi Anne, long time no speak, see or hear in fact.
Yes, this is very true. We haven't presented together for a while. So I'm really looking forward to the show tonight.
Me too.
Actually, or today. We've got a great lineup. First up, we've got Rachel Maunder, who's a speaker and mindset mentor, followed by Alina Sanderson and Michelle Kayser of SmartWorks. And finally, we've got Harriet Hartcombe, who is with Cancer Research.
Thanks, Anne. So to start the programme today, I'd like to welcome Rachel Maunder, speaker and mentor. Welcome, Rachel.
Thank you.
Before we talk about some of the great work you're currently doing, can you just tell us a little bit about your background? What's brought you to this point?
Well, it's been a long journey. My background started off in public sector, really. I was a youth worker working with juvenile offenders, always interested in what made one child in a family offend when another one perhaps didn't. You know, that sort of thing about difference and what their thinking was around that. Then I moved into sort of more social work, working, doing the court side of stuff for the social services department, but also getting involved in childcare and things like that. And from that, I moved into counselling. Went and in the middle of all that, went and lived in Thailand for 9 years.
Where, as you do, obviously.
Yeah, where my children were born. And then developed my counselling career there, came back to the UK, continued as a counsellor working for a programme called Lighter Life, which is a weight loss programme. And during that time, realised that actually the way I was working was more coaching. It wasn't really counselling as such, so then decided to sort of move towards that a little bit more. And that's kind of
how it evolved.
It's evolved, really.
So just for the listeners, the difference between counselling and coaching is that counselling is looking at the past and how it impacts on the present, and coaching is looking at the present and how you can sort of move forward into the future.
Yeah, that's a good enough description. Also, there is a degree of, you know, with counselling, you'd probably go for counselling if you felt there was something not quite right, whether you were just feeling a bit low or whatever it would be. But coaching is very proactive and wanting to move forward. It's not pathological in any sense at all.
Yeah. And you mentioned the children and the family thing, because that's quite a common thing, isn't it? People sort of say, well, I brought them all up the same. Why has this happened? Mm. But actually, you don't bring children up the same because they're all different. That's
exactly
the whole thing, isn't it?
Exactly. And you're at a different stage in your life when each one is born. And yeah, so you don't bring them up the same.
It's that whole nature versus nurture debate, isn't it?
Yes.
And you think you've done the same thing with each one. Maybe you haven't, actually.
Yeah. And part of the whole thing about mindset is that actually it's the way they perceive what you're doing. And, you know, how they perceive what you say to them, what's intended with what you were doing with them. And you could have twins, couldn't you? And yeah, they could actually be reacting completely differently to the same circumstances.
And how they perceive their position in the family.
Yeah.
If they're a younger one,
yeah,
how's the older one treated and how does that affect them?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
So what is a mind shift mentor then, Rachel?
Okay, so what I do, I work with people to look at where their thinking has come around, because we all have a mindset at any point in time. We're operating from a mindset. And, you know, as human beings, we tend to be wired to look at the potential dangers and risks in life. That sort of goes back to that sort of flight or fight reflex. So what can happen very easily is that we get in a downward spiral of overthinking and thinking all the negative things that can happen. And typically that might sort of in modern day living, oh, I'm not good enough to do this, if I do this, this is what's going to happen, and holding ourselves back in that sense. What I'm working to do with my clients is to create a bit of a shift in the way they see things, to because when we are in that sort of negative mindset, I call it a closed mindset, we're literally not open to new possibilities and things, because we're so sure that our thoughts are true.
Yeah.
But in fact, they are just that, they are thoughts. And so what I'm encouraging people to do is to create a shift towards a more open mindset, which at least is step one towards stepping into new possibilities.
You just reminded me of a brilliant quote by Mark Twain that said, I've been through thousands of experiences in my life and some of them actually happened.
Right.
And that is so true, isn't
yes.
it? Because a lot of it is what we create in our minds. It's
absolutely.
Almost like we're so
yeah.
scared
yeah.
of this thing happening. But in reality, yeah. nine yeah. times I'd tell the tiger's not in the room.
No.
That's
exactly
very deep.
That. Yeah. And it is reminding ourselves of that.
Yeah.
That it is just a thought. And this is where mindfulness comes in as well. I mean, I'm not a mindfulness, and I'm not qualified in that sense, but a lot of what I do uses some of the mindfulness yeah. techniques, in that it's about reminding yourself that these are just thoughts, they're not real. Focus on the here and now, what's actually going on in your life, and that can sort of bring you back to base, if you like, and then move forward into what could be happening for you.
So it's really just sort of stopping, thinking about your attitude, and possibly just shifting it in a different direction.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I sort of say to people, if when you're stuck on a thought that's not helping you, then just ask yourself, what if that wasn't true? And just open up that possibility. What if it's not true that you're not good enough? What if it's not true that women can't achieve the same as men? Just stay with that question. What if that wasn't true?
And do you bring CBT into your work?
Yeah, I do to some extent. Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, coaching is very, very aligned to CBT.
Yeah. And so what do you think are one of the main reasons people come to you? You know, sometimes it's anxiety that seems to be the thrust at the moment, or it's having more resilience or the confidence thing. What for you do you think is like a common one at the moment?
I think it's all of those things. I think it's the resilience and recognizing that they are the thing that's holding them back the most. The majority of my clients are owners of small businesses, not all by any means, and some of my clients aren't in business or work at all, but the majority are, and they're recognizing that it's their own smallness, if you like, that's holding them back. And you know, I can relate to that in my journey. You know, it's so easy, again, that holding on to that belief and thought that actually, who am I to achieve anything big?
I was wondering, actually, you know, if people have got issues that, you know, you can sort of unlock, they come and see you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? Who do you talk to?
What key do you use, Rachel?
Yeah. Well, I do mentoring for myself, business mentoring, and I'm just about to embark on a program of peer mentoring with some of my you know, people that I've mixed with. So that's what I do, really, is I make sure I'm constantly reading new stuff, looking at new stuff, educating myself. But it is about the people I mix with, really, and you know, growing my ideas from that.
So when you say mentoring, just for the listeners to kind of clarify what you mean by that,
what
form would that take, for example?
It can be in a group, it can be group mentoring, and I mean, I run workshops, you know, for groups as well as doing one-to-one coaching, but it can also be personal mentoring. And for me, the difference between mentoring and coaching, for example, is that a coach will never come up with a potential solution. It's all about asking the questions. Whereas why I call myself a mentor rather than a coach is that I will say to people, well, have you thought of, is this a possibility for you? And if they say no, and I sense that actually they haven't even thought about that, I'll say, well, why not? And just get them to open up around it. Whereas if I was purely coaching, I would simply be asking them the questions for them to find their own answers.
Sure.
But that it just doesn't work for me to do it in that way.
No. So typically how do you work? Is it mostly one-to-ones with somebody over a period of weeks or months, or is it workshops with groups of people? I mean, what's the most common way you're
working? It depends. I mean, I've got a workshop coming up in June, which is a one-day workshop. I'm running it on two consecutive days in Farnham, called Start With The Small Stuff, and it's literally that. It's looking at mindset around, oh, you know, I better not say I can't do that to somebody because, you know, so it's about learning to say no. It's about taking compliments and really getting back to basics. What are your values? What drives your behaviour in a very simple, non-threatening environment? It's a women's only event. And then sometimes that leads on to individual coaching. And I do that in a number of ways. I can either do a full or half day with somebody and then, you know, come back to them 2 or 3 months later, or we can work at regular sessions over a 3 or 6 month period, depending on how I usually work is have a chat to people, see what they want help with, and then I will say, well, actually, I think
in my opinion, what would be best suited would be to do this with you.
Yeah, I was just thinking people don't always know what they want, really.
No, no, they don't.
They recognise they need some help, but they don't know if that's going to be a one-off day or, you know, a few months of sessions, I suppose.
Yes, and actually what I'm also moving towards, which I'm hoping to launch in July or soon after, excuse me, is an online programme. Where I would perhaps have a different topic that I've been covering on each session. Mm. That will probably be fortnightly. So we might look at all sorts of different areas of mindset and so on.
I mean, apologies if I've got this wrong, but it did say on the website that the workshop was £47. Is that right?
That's correct,
That's
yes.
really good value for a workshop. It really is. I was really surprised by that, actually. Pleasantly surprised.
Yes, I know it is very good value, and a lot of people have said to me, why aren't you charging more? But in my experience, women in particular, particularly women that aren't working, and it is aimed at women who aren't working as well as people who are, feel really guilty spending money on themselves.
Yeah, can't justify it.
No, and so I didn't want price to be a barrier to people coming forward.
And obviously we touched on the CBT, cognitive behavioural therapy, as one of the techniques that you do use. What are some of the other techniques that you might use?
As I mentioned earlier, I use a few sort of mindfulness techniques. Yes.
Do you touch on NLP or anything like that?
A little bit, yes. I've got a few, I've done my NLP practitioner course, and so I do use a few exercises from that, and just stuff that I've come up with myself that I've found has worked. You know, and different techniques for different people for addressing the same thing.
I was looking at your website, and there's some current topics that I know you've been focusing on. For example, where did that come from?
Yes.
So when like people have sort of ingrained attitudes, are these things they sort of brought with them from childhood, maybe from their parents, and they, you know, that just sort of dictates the way they think and behave?
Absolutely. I mean, and you can come across all sorts of really silly examples for that.
Yeah.
You know, when I had my first child and she constantly cried, I had it absolutely stuck in my mind that you don't use dummies for babies. And it was a conversation with my sister, whose children were a little bit older, and she said, well, you've got to think about why you think that. And that's only because mum always used to say, well, it's disgusting to give a baby a dummy.
And, interesting,
yeah, and I thought, well, that's true. I have no idea whether it's okay to give a dummy or not.
Yeah,
and actually, the minute I could change it to the and call it a pacifier, which is, of course, what the Americans call it, I thought, actually, that's what I need. Yeah. I need a pacifier. I'm not looking for a dummy, which is going to shut the child up.
Yeah, a dummy is quite a negative sort of way of looking at it. Actually.
Yeah, it's also, as you say, if you don't know you're doing something, you can't change it. Once it's been brought out into the light and you can analyse it, but you think, actually, is it useful for me to believe that anymore in the cold light of day?
Exactly.
Actually,
yes.
It probably isn't.
Yes,
it?
And there's loads of examples that, you know, we've all got around that.
Yeah. And there's something you say on your website, which I think really resonated with me. It says, do you have what seems like a great life from the outside, but inside you feel there should be something more?
Mm. Yeah,
I think a lot of women feel like that, actually.
I do. A lot of my contemporaries whose, you know, children have just either just leaving or just left home.
Just gonna say that. Yeah.
They've got a very comfortable lifestyle because the decision was made when the children were born that they would stay at home, look after the children. Successful husbands, you know, happy marriage, probably very nice life, actually. Mm. But they're bright, capable women that could equally be doing what their husband is doing, had they chosen to do it the other
different
way around.
Path.
But feel guilty in feeling, actually, you know, there's something missing here now, and I am only in my mid-50s or whatever.
Well, 50's a new 20, isn't it?
Exactly. Absolutely, yes.
It's a bit stretching out,
definitely.
30s. Rachel, quick question. If you could talk to a younger you, say 15 years ago, 20 years ago, what would you say to her?
Oh, gosh, I would have just said, just go for it. Have that confidence to do it. What's the worst that's going to happen? You know, I would have, there's so many opportunities I would have taken or risks I would have taken that I didn't at the time.
But you are now, so that's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you missed out on the opportunity.
Do you think, therefore, that we're all too guilty of overanalyzing things?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, we sort of think about it to the nth degree and then never do it.
Yeah.
What can go wrong?
Yeah.
5,000 things will go wrong, so therefore we won't.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. A bit like that in my house with decorating. And that's another story. Can you tell us about a success story? I'm sure you've got loads, but can you sort of think about any success stories that have happened?
I'm just small examples, really, because this is kind of how I got into this, is realising that actually I don't even notice I'm doing this sometimes. But there was one in particular, she wasn't a particularly good friend, but somebody I knew and sort of bumped into her in the supermarket every 2 or 3 months. Had a conversation with her one time. She had just qualified as an accountant, and she said, as opposed to a bookkeeper. And she said, oh, but she said, I'm not going to apply for any other jobs because she said, they all want young people these days. And I said, well, I don't think they do. Yeah. I said, you know, I know employers are actually quite the reverse. They like a mature person and, you know, work ethic and all that sort of thing.
Experience.
And that was just a conversation. And then 2 or 3 months later, she came rushing up to me in the supermarket and said, oh, Rachel, she said, thank you so much for what you said. She said, I decided I would have a go. And she said, I've got a job as an accountant now.
Fantastic,
and yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. And it was just, she was absolutely stuck in that sort of thing. And that, you know, that really resonated with me. And that was a key turning point for me to think, oh, actually, there is something here. I'm sure she's not the only one.
Definitely not.
Yeah.
Where would you like to take the business moving forward? Would you like to do more workshops? Would you like to go into schools? Would you like to write a book?
I am writing a book.
Oh, okay.
I am writing a book, yes. It's called What If That Wasn't True?
Oh, that's a great title.
So I'm probably, I don't know how long it's going to be, so I'm half or two-thirds of the way through it. I would just like to reach more people. So getting out there and speaking more is what I'm aiming to do, because that kind of spreads the word to a wider group
it
of
does.
People.
Is that the part of your work that you feel that you enjoy the most? Or
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Quite a challenge. Stand up. I mean, how many people typically would you stand up in front of?
I'm probably very comfortable in front of 100 plus. I've not really presented very often to more than that, if at all, actually. So I don't know what I would be like.
100 plus is quite a lot to me.
It's quite a lot, yeah. 100, 500, you know, once you've got that sort of number.
Yeah. I don't know that there's much difference, really. I don't know.
Wembley Stadium.
Yeah.
Exactly. Could happen. You have to come back and tell us all about that when that happens then as well. Who are some of the people in the field of personal development you look up to, Rachel? Because we've all got people that, you know, we've read their books and they've been inspirational. But for you, who would you say are some of the people for you?
Oh, gosh, that's a...
You've got the Tony Robbins, you've got the, you know, the Wayne Dyers, the Paul McKenna's, to be fair, because obviously he's written loads of books on personal development.
Yeah, I haven't read Paul McKenna. I have read a couple of Wayne Dyer and Tony Robbins. It's hard to say who would stand out because I like to take something from each of them. Mm. I'm just finishing off a book now called The One Thing by Gary Keller. That's been brilliant for me. I think it's about reading it at the right time,
of course,
when you need to hear it.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, so I wouldn't want to pick one person, really.
Well, sadly, we've reached the end of the interview.
That's gone quickly.
Because I could have so many questions to ask you. Have you got any kind of advice for listeners? Maybe they're out there thinking, well, you know, I really want to go and see Rachel. I really want to do something, but I don't know how to make that, you know, first leap. Any advice for them?
If they're thinking about taking the leap, I would say, well, what's the worst that's going to happen if you do? If they're sort of thinking, shall they, shan't they? But if they're sort of locked into a belief that they shouldn't do it because, then I'd say, ask yourself, what if that wasn't true?
That's a great question. If listeners want to find out more information about you, Rachel, can you just give them your website?
Yes, it's www.rachelmaunder.com.
And an email address?
coach@rachelmaunder.com.
Thank you very much. That was Rachel Maunder from rachelmaunder.com. Now we're going to have a short break and we'll be back to talk to Elena Zanderson and Michelle Kayser from SmartWorks. So stay tuned.
This is Just Women every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklyn's Radio.
Do you need help with your Apple Mac but you don't know where to go? Rafael is your local Apple certified support professional. He can help you with any of your Apple needs, such as setting up iCloud accounts and family sharing. Or perhaps you'd simply like to learn a few new things about your Apple Mac. Simply visit www.rafalkukla.com or call 07907 795000 today to arrange an on-site visit in the comfort of your home or office. That's 07907 795000 for peace of mind Apple support.
In Guildford and the County of Surrey, there's a wide range of things to see, do and enjoy. If you're looking for somewhere to eat, somewhere to stay, or somewhere to take the family, or perhaps you want to visit the countryside or indulge your passion for art, culture and heritage, explore bustling towns or take in a show, find a place that's romantic and peaceful. Whatever you're looking for, you'll be spoilt for choice. You'll find so many things to do. Visit Guildford.com is the place to go to plan your days and nights out. You can also book tickets, making us your one-stop shop. So go on, log on now to visitguildford.com. Great times are just a click away.
Hi, it's Jill Bennett. Why not listen in on Sunday afternoons between 2 and 5? I'll be playing lots of great tunes featuring classic hits from across the decades, news and events in Surrey, and your essential guide to a happier and healthier lifestyle. There'll be a guest each week sharing their expertise. So join me, Jill Bennett, this Sunday on Brooklands Radio between 2 and 5.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Welcome back to Just Women with me, Anne Twist, and my fellow presenter, Ivana O'Brien. I'd now like to welcome Alina Zanderson and Michelle Kayser of Smartworks. Alina, perhaps you could start by explaining for our listeners what Smartworks is and does.
So, yes, Smartworks is an all-women's organisation, and what we do is we help women return back to work. And we do that by providing them with a smart interview outfit for their interview, which is for them to keep. And we also provide them with a one-to-one interview coaching session before they go in for their interview.
And how do they find you?
So we work mainly through referral partners. We work with job centres from the area. We are based in Reading, but we work also with job centres in Slough and closer to Surrey, if you like.
Yeah.
And job centres would contact us, or also other charities would contact us if they have a client who's in need of our services.
And how would they sort of evaluate that they were in need, sort of lacking confidence?
So we do focus on women on low income. So okay. They would be women who mainly have been out of work for some time, or women experiencing mental health issues, or victims of domestic abuse, or ex-offenders who are particularly vulnerable.
Right.
And that's why we work with referral agencies to ensure that the women who come and see us are those who genuinely are in need of the service.
Yeah.
And and that's how it works.
And it could it be women that maybe have been for a few interviews already and haven't managed to get the job, or does it not necessarily mean that?
Absolutely. And quite often what we see in our experience is that a lot of our clients have applied quite often for more than 50 jobs. And they have had one or two interviews, and they have not been successful. And so it's not only about giving them the clothes, which is in some cases absolutely necessary. It's much more about giving them the confidence and the self belief that they are worthy.
That's so true. Because if you walk into an interview not believing you're going to get the interview, you won't get the interview.
Yeah. And we do see a lot of women; they have a certain mindset. That and it's just about and I think it goes back to what you spoke about earlier, just overcoming that mindset that I'm not capable of anything. We see a lot of women who would come in and say, I'm just a mum. No, if you are going for a role in a nursery and you have raised four kids, you're more than just a mum.
Well, not just that, the budgeting skills, the negotiation skills. Absolutely. There's so many transferable skills as being a parent, isn't there?
Yeah, but I think if you've been stuck in the house, you just don't see it.
No, you don't see it.
No. So you're running Reading, I was going to say office, are we calling it an office or branch?
Yes, so we are an independent charity and we're based in Reading. We also do have two Smartworks offices in London.
Yeah.
So some of the listeners might be closer to the London offices than to the Reading
one.
And so you don't just offer the clothes, do you? So the coaching is a big part of it. What I was really surprised about, we were talking about this off air, was that not only do you offer the clothes and the coaching pre getting the job, but once they've got the job, hopefully they've got the job, you then offer them ongoing support of how to behave in the workplace, which I think is fantastic.
Yes, so every single client can come and see us twice. So it depends on the result after the first session, if you like.
Yeah.
If they secure the job, they can come back for a capsule wardrobe, simply to help them through the first month at work till they get their first paycheck. So we give them a capsule wardrobe, another 5-6 items they can mix and match with what they've got already. And they can also speak to our interview coach again to think of, you know, now I've got the job, what should I do in the first couple of months to make sure I keep it? Also, if they haven't been successful with that particular interview, we offer them to come back for another coaching session before they head for another interview.
Yeah. Right.
Because for a lot of the women, as they are very vulnerable, if they don't get that particular job, it's such a massive knock to their confidence that they think, oh, again, I failed. So we try to give them that little boost again.
Mm. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with you. You're absolutely fine. You're going to get the job. Yeah. Come back for another coaching session.
Yeah. Alina, when you say they're very vulnerable, can you just tell us what you mean by that?
So as I mentioned before, they might be ex-offenders. We have seen ladies who have been maybe out of prison for a week or so. They might literally have one bag of things, and that's all they own. Or they might be ladies living in a refuge. Again, there might be ladies who we have seen a client who just walked out of her life with one bag, and that's all she ever had.
Wow.
We have seen ladies who are going through divorce, which is taking years to sort. And so a lot of it is very emotional also from our part,
yeah,
if you like,
yeah,
because it's very hard not to get involved.
And bearing in mind the fantastic work you do, I'm shocked at how few other offices around the country there are.
Yeah, I mean, so 5 or 6, something like that.
Yeah, so there are 2 in London, then us in Reading, then 1 in Birmingham, 1 in Manchester, 1 in Edinburgh.
Yeah. Nothing in Surrey, for example.
Not yet. You are quite close to Reading.
Yeah, and London. So you're running the Reading office, and obviously we've got Michelle here who's as well, and you're a volunteer.
Yes, I am.
At the Reading office?
At the Reading office.
I know that the volunteers can take many sort of different forms. What do you do?
Well, I do admin on one day and a dresser on the other day.
Okay.
And the dresser means that I will be there for help the client,
yeah,
that will walk into our office and help to find the best outfit for them.
Right, okay. So, and I know that you work, SmartWorks works with many different companies donating outfits. So there's Hobbs and I can't remember, Evans. And yeah, so you, I think you've got sort of rooms and rooms of outfits, haven't you? So is that right?
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Yeah, we have from all sizes,
yeah,
as well. And when the client comes, we are trying to provide the best outfit that would be suitable for the interview.
Right, okay.
And sometimes, like, we also interview the client to see what would be they feel comfortable with the clothes.
Yeah.
It's not just to come and we say, no, you need to wear these clothes. No, we help them to find according to what they like as well.
Yeah.
But sometimes we also push them to be a little bit different, maybe to wear a dress. Some ladies, they are a little bit reluctant to wear a dress, but in the end they love it and they feel confident with us. And one of the things I found fascinating is the change they do when they are walking and when they leave. It's just amazing. They feel like different people, and we encourage them also to feel comfortable,
yeah,
and to see that they can find something in their life. It's not just about to be there. You need to you have the confidence back.
You've got to feel it as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
So where do you source the clothes from? How do you get the message out there that you're looking for these clothes?
So we are quite lucky because we do have some national partners. So as Anne mentioned, we have Hobbs, for example. They donate their stock to us. We also have corporate partners who support us locally. So we have JDA Software, for example, or Cisco and Microsoft as well. They do corporate drives for us. However, we also appeal for individual donations. So if people around Surrey would like to donate interview-appropriate outfits to us, we would more than welcome them, absolutely, because we're getting more and more busy. And we just do need more and more donations.
Because you have the donation drive thing, don't you, where you're encouraging people in offices to have like a day where everyone takes in. That's a great idea.
Any listeners who work in the corporate world and who would like to do a donation drive for us, we would absolutely appreciate it and get in touch with us.
So you're not at the stage yet where you're turning clothes away?
No.
Or shoes? No.
No, absolutely not.
And if people want to volunteer, what's the minimum amount of hours? Is it 2 hours a week or 2 a month, or what's the...
So as long as there's regular commitment,
yeah,
we are happy to be quite flexible. So you don't have to come in every week. We have interview volunteers who commit to a certain day once a month, and that is their day.
Yeah.
So we are flexible. We are not looking, as other charities, for example, would look for, you have to come in for 4 hours every week. But you can get in touch with us and we'll find the best way to get you involved, whatever works for you and helps us.
I see that you have some people come in, say, one Saturday a month. Is that right?
Yeah, so we do have interview volunteers. I would say dressing volunteers come in usually once a week.
Right.
Interview volunteers, because all our interview volunteers are from corporate backgrounds, so they would whether run their own companies or work in HR for, again, big companies like Verizon or Pythagoras, for example. So they can come in only once a month.
Yeah, okay. And what are the opening hours then? I mean, you know, if people are coming along to have a session with you, is it sort of 9 to 5, Monday to Saturday, or is it sort of evenings? Or?
So we see clients Tuesdays to Fridays.
Okay.
Monday is our office day when we see, for example, our referral partners. They can come and visit us. So if they don't know us yet, we invite them to see the office. We try to be as flexible as we can. So clients we usually take from the appointments are from 10 till 4. However, we try our best to accommodate all needs. So if somebody gives us a call late Wednesday afternoon and say, I have an interview Thursday at 12 o'clock, we would do our best to fit them in for Thursday morning.
So how many sessions would you do in a day if it was interview?
We can do up to 5. Okay. So, and as I said, we are more than happy to be flexible. You have to make the effort to travel to Reading. However, if you are signed up with a job centre, the job centre can help you with the travel costs.
Right.
And
okay.
Obviously our appointment is completely free and the clothes are for you, for the clients to keep.
Do you ever do any joint events, dare I say it, with the men?
With the?
Men.
Well.
Should I not mention the M word?
I must admit that we do have a couple of corporate volunteers who are interview coaches who are men.
Okay.
We do not have dressers, obviously, who are men. However, there is another charity I'm aware of, which is Suited and Booted.
Suited and Booted, yeah.
And they work with men exclusively as well. So at the moment, no, we haven't reached that stage. However, if we ever get contacted by men and they ask, oh, you know, can I get some help? We always refer them to Suited and Booted.
So typically when people come along, is it about the clothes and sort of self-confidence to walk through the door for an interview? Or is it that, you know, they have issues on what they're going to say and react in an interview? I mean, what's typical?
Or is it both? Is it a mixture?
Combined, yeah.
It's combined.
I think they can... they feel sometimes confident in an interview, but they feel they don't have proper clothes to go.
Right.
And then sometimes it's the opposite.
Yeah.
It just depends on the individual who is there.
Yeah.
But we are there to give the support for both.
Yeah.
Interview and dressing.
And I think sometimes you're helping with CVs as well. Is that right?
So we can signpost if we feel there's a need. We would signpost the ladies to other organisations. So if it's help with CV or if it is we notice any maybe mental health issues and they need some help, we always signpost them for to other organisations. Also to add with to what Michelle said, it's very interesting as to what comes out in the dressing session.
Right.
And how later on it kind of develops in the interview. Because that's why we start with the dressing. And
do
the
you?
Interview is the second part. Because with the dressing, it's more chilled. It's more relaxed. It's more like a fun, I would say, personal shopper experience.
Yeah.
And then they feel relaxed about the environment. They think it's nice and safe. It's all women's kind of organization. Yeah. So when they go in for the interview, they finally feel safe enough to open up. So there is, I think, in quite a few cases, there is a lot of tears.
Yeah.
Or a lot of,
yeah,
actually,
sure.
I only have this one burning question I wanted to ask you. What should I do about this or that in my interview?
Because I've run employability City and Guild workshops. So on the last day, we always do a session, a mock interview, and they come in dressed in the clothes that they're going to go for an interview for. And they don't like to, but they all say actually doing that makes them get into that frame
get
of mind as if it is an interview, whereas they probably wouldn't have got as much benefit from doing it without the clothes. So it's a whole thing, it's a whole package, isn't it?
And I think that's part of our success is that we try to do it close to the actual interview date. So if they have an interview, you know, 2 weeks from now, we'll try to book them in closer to the interview so they have that boost before they go in.
Yeah.
So it's not 2 weeks pass and they've forgotten all about the interview coaching.
And you have quite a high success rate as well, don't you?
Yes. So over one in every two women we see succeeds, which I think is absolutely brilliant.
Fantastic.
And I think that's why we are successful, because we see them close to the interview, we give them that boost and we give them the training, and they also receive an interview coaching pack from us they can take home. So just before they go in the next morning, if you like, they can still go through the interview pack and think, yeah, okay, it's all clear, it's all set in my mind, I know what I'm doing.
Great.
So now you've probably got loads to tell us about on this subject, but can you remember, maybe you as well, Michelle, some success stories, people that have stuck up in your mind, you thought, actually, that person came in, when they came into our office, they had no confidence, they were really down, and then they got the job and they're walking tall and their whole life changed. And because your life can just change from one day, can't it?
Indeed, yeah.
So you got anybody that stands in your mind that kind of you feel you've helped? That?
Yes, there is one lady, I think she was a single mom, and she I think she never worked in her life. She was quite young, around 23. And then she suddenly decided that she wants to do she wants to work. The children was around 5 years old and they could go to nursery and she would like to do some part-time work. And then she came and she was quite shy even with the clothes and until we get to the point to find appropriate clothes for her. And but after when she left and she did the coaching session, she came back like in a few days, like it was very quick and we couldn't believe it. And she was so happy. She asked to bring her mom as well because her mom was so happy and she wanted to be thankful for the whole situation. Yeah, and it was very rewarding situation, especially for me because I was there and I saw her case since the beginning.
So that's, you just kind of hit the nail on the head. Even though you're giving up your time and you're a volunteer, actually you get so much out of it as
indeed,
well from
indeed.
Volunteering.
You see,
not just the skills for your CV, but you know, actually
yeah, you learn a lot from everyone who comes there. It's different story, and you learn how things go in their lives as well.
Mm-hmm. How many hours are you doing there a week or days or?
I think around 10 hours a week, like this, or less.
So Michelle always comes to save the day and help us with the boring admin things,
which
is not for everyone, but it's just absolutely needed because it frees our time to go out and meet new referral partners and spread the word or come and talk on the radio, for example.
So referral partners, that could be the job centre or any other kind of organisation that is...
Yes, absolutely. So we work, for example, with organisations such as Elizabeth Fry or Alana House. So they refer ladies to us, and mainly they are job centres. But if it's an organisation, a charity or any other type of organisation which deals with women who are looking to return to work, they can contact us and become our referral partner.
Brilliant.
Well, sadly, we've come to the end of the interview. I just want to ask a quick question, Elena and Michelle. If there's anybody out there thinking of getting involved as a volunteer, what advice would you give them?
So I would advise them to look on our website, smartworks.org.uk, go to the Reading site and they can get in touch with us and we'll find the best way suitable for them to get involved with our work. Or if they would like to donate to us clothing or accessories, then they can look up on our website and contact us.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Thank you, Elena and Michelle. So Elena Zanderzone and Michelle Kayser from smartworks.org.uk. We're now going to have another short break and we're back to talk to Harriet Harcombe from Cancer Research Race for Life. So stay tuned.
This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
Our relaunched shop and post office in Church Street, Weybridge has an improved retail offer and we provide the vital services you need from your local post office. We have 20 foreign currencies on demand and the new simple and safe travel money card that's prepaid multiple currencies on one secure card. Plus, for the last 10 years, we've been number one for travel insurance, as recognised by the UK travel industry. And for tax-free savings, we have the Premier Cash ISA. So pop in and see us at 24 to 26 Church Street, Weybridge. We are open 7 days a week, including Sundays 10 till 2. The Post Office, Weybridge. Convenience on your doorstep.
Enjoy a day out at the Kempton Steam Museum and the Hampton and Kempton Waterworks Railway. The railway operates every Sunday, and dads get a free ride on Father's Day, the 18th. Both the railway and the triple expansion steam pumping engine of the Kempton Steam Museum are open and steaming on Saturday, the 17th, and Sunday, the 18th of June. The Steam Museum and the railway are off Snaky Lane, Hanworth. Follow the signs to the Kempton Steam Museum. And find out more at kemptonsteam.org and hamptonkemptonrailway.org.uk. The magic of steam on your doorstep. Open every Sunday, 10:30 until 4. And don't forget Saturday, the 17th of June.
At the balls off bars and midnight ladies are taking their hold on me.
If you love country music, join me, Alex Nairn, on Mondays at 8 p.m. for Brooklyn's Country. I will play music from every facet of country, traditional, modern, bluegrass, and everything in between. So tune in, you'll be glad you did. That's Brooklyn's Country this Monday at 8 p.m. on Brooklyn's Radio.
He's taking a hold on me.
Loving country.
I know how to avoid a soggy bottom. I know the name of cinema's most famous white shark. I know all the things you can do with a Maris Piper. And I definitely know the TV show that made this music famous. But I don't know my state pension.
There's a simple way to find out when you can get your state pension and how much it'll be. Search Your State Pension and get to know yours.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.
Hello, welcome back to Just Women with me, Ivana O'Brien and Anne Twist. Our next guest is Harriet Harkham from Cancer Research Race for Life. Welcome, Harriet.
Hi.
Can you just tell our listeners a little bit about your background? I know that you're currently at uni, aren't you?
Yeah, so I'm at UCL in London. I'm doing an internship with Cancer Research UK, the London region, yeah.
So how did you find out about it? Did you go to your careers advisor? What made you think of...
So it's a funny story, actually. I applied for this and then my careers advisor told me about it. Okay. I was like, I've already applied. They're really good internships if anyone's looking for one. They take you under their wing completely. They guide you through everything. There's a lot of training. It's
and you're
really
doing it over the summer, so is it like 2 months long? Or is it
so mine's 3 months and it's part-time, yeah.
So you're... So over the summer, but you've been doing it a while, haven't you? Or have you just started?
Yeah, so I actually started in... April, so I guess it's Easter to summer.
Right.
I'll finish at the end of June.
So you're doing it alongside your studies?
Yes.
Right. And what's your role there?
So I'm part of the events marketing and events team. So I'm basically working on the Race for Life events in and around London.
Right. And does that involve actually going to the events or
taking part yourself? Or should I not say that?
Well, actually, me and a couple of the other girls are planning on doing a Pretty Muddy, but we haven't actually decided which one yet. But I will volunteer on the day, but that's not part of my role, no.
No, okay.
Yeah, there's probably lots to do on the day, so they probably need
you. Yeah, they need as many volunteers as possible. So if anyone wants to volunteer, then...
Excellent.
So how many people will take part in the Race for Life itself, roughly? How many thousands?
So it depends on the race. Normally, that's the kind of, if they reach capacity, you're looking at kind of 1,500 at the big events. But yeah, it depends which race you're going to completely.
I hadn't realised, actually, I looked at it today. I mean, I did a 10K about 8 years ago at Hampton Court Palace, and it was a one-off for me. And I was thinking, they probably run one of these sort of every 2 or 3 months somewhere. And today I looked at the website, and there were about 4 pages just for June.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable, actually, the amount of events.
When I started, I had the same realisation. It's like, everyone's heard of Race for Life, but I don't think you truly know how big it is until you actually go and look at it.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, they have multiple races, like, every week throughout June.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's not just a 5K or 10K. It's Pretty Muddy this and Hike that, marathon.
So I want to know, what is the Pretty Muddy? Yeah. Is it like Tough Mudder or is it?
So it's a much friendlier version of the Tough Mudder.
It's good to
You're
know.
Not going to get electrocuted if you do a Pretty Muddy.
Can you get electrocuted with a Tough Mudder?
Tough Mudder, but right. Pretty Muddy's there. 5Ks, they're really, really fun. People throw mud at you, but there's obstacle courses around the course. Obstacle courses around the course.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So
Pretty Muddy's they're newer than the 5K and the 10K, but they're really, really a lot of fun.
So how far are they in distance? Are they still sort of 5K and 10K? But
yeah, so there's, I think all Pretty Muddy's are 5K.
Okay.
5K or 10K for the race.
But it's not just, it's under over.
So it probably feels like much further than 5K.
Yeah.
And it's just women that take part, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just women.
But apparently men do get involved, I suppose, in the organisation behind the scenes.
Yeah, so you get a lot of husbands volunteering, that kind of thing. And then if you're a man, you can obviously take on part. You can run for cancer research at one of the other events. Like, a lot of people run half marathons for cancer research. And actually, they're apparently trialling a, like, family-based Race for Life in Scotland.
Good.
So
okay.
See how that goes. So that's something they're looking into.
I think on the website it says, over the past 20 years, more than 8 million women have taken part in Cancer Research Race for Life, raising over 547 million. Mm. That's just incredible, isn't
it?
Yeah,
it is actually.
When you think about some of the amazing stuff that's gone towards doing. And there's a free app you can download on your phone, isn't there, that can help you, I think, with your training. And
yeah.
And what I was surprised about was how many different centres. I mean, I actually did notice one in Farnham, actually, Anne, to be fair, where you can go along and do the training with someone else. Wasn't there anything in Epsom, which is good? So I'm off the hook, but Anne, right, unfortunately.
Well, I have to tell you that Farnham and Epsom are quite close, Ivana, so come on down.
And there's lots of ways you can volunteer. So how can people get involved, Harriet?
So the main way we want volunteers is to either run or come and support on the day and help us out with the organisation. We need lots of stewards. So if you don't feel like you're up for running, then coming to volunteer on the day is a great way to support the course.
That is actually, isn't it? Because, you know, I think there might be a lot of people out there who think, oh, I really don't think I could cope with 5 or 10K or a, you know, tough mudder type environment, but actually really want to do their bit.
Yeah. I mean, when I'm talking to people, a lot of people say, oh, I can't run. It's like there are so many ways you can help on the day. Yeah. And also, this is not it's not an intense 5K, 10K. Like, people push their buggies around. Like, people walk it, people jog it. It's just turn up on the day, do your bit, and it's a really relaxed atmosphere.
But can I ask, if they're pushing their buggy, do they have to be pushing a little girl in the buggy? What if it's a little boy they're pushing?
No, I think little boys are okay.
They're okay in that?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Okay, I get that. That's good.
So there's, as well as, there's 5K, 10K, Family 5K, Pretty Muddy Women, Pretty Muddy Kids.
Yeah, Pretty Muddy
Kids.
Okay,
and then there's a hike. What does that involve? I mean, obviously a hike, but, you know, how long and how far?
I think it varies depending on the hike.
Right.
And which one. There aren't any in London, obviously, because we don't have hills. So
okay.
I don't know too much about the local ones around here, but... definitely, if you want to do a hike, look into it. Everything is on the website, raceforlife.org. So, yeah.
And schools can hold their own little Race for Life events, can't they? I saw some of that.
Yeah,
that looks really good.
So that's good.
So what would they do when they
did that? It's completely up to them how long it is. And boys can obviously participate in the school's ones. But we'll just deliver a pack to you. And they set it up on like the school field and run around it, basically.
So
it's just a bit of fun.
And is the main way of giving still sort of Just Giving, or is there another?
So if you sign up for a race on raceforlife.org, then you'll get an automatic kind of sponsorship page,
right?
And if you put the money in through that, then that will automatically go through to the charity after a certain amount of time.
Oh,
and
right.
Then there's nothing else for you to do. So it's that's the easiest way if you're running a race to give to the charity.
So it's not a Just Giving page, it's your own
cancer research version of Just Giving.
Yeah,
page.
And you could do the gift aid thing as well.
And how much does it cost to enter?
So it's $14.99 for women, yeah.
That's pretty reasonable, isn't it? Yeah. What, do you get like a T-shirt for as well in return, or do you get like a little pack with that?
Yeah, you get a little starter pack. Yeah, and it's cheaper for under 18s, I think. And I can't remember what I was going to say.
Don't worry.
That's just all the time. And so, what time of year do the events tend to happen?
So they're all throughout summer.
Usually the summer, though, never in the winter, always the summer.
So there are a lot of Pretty Muddies in kind of September, October time, but the 5Ks and the 10Ks are basically throughout the summer, not really in the winter. The local event to you guys is the Kingston and Kempton event, which is on July 1st.
Oh, yeah, I read about that.
I look forward to seeing you there on the starting line.
Yeah, you've got plenty of time to get training. I might volunteer to help.
Yeah, do it. Definitely.
I bet it's a good sort of atmosphere on the day, actually.
Yeah, everyone is so pumped. It's like, it's definitely a very positive atmosphere. No one is... it's obviously a very serious cause, but I think it's an atmosphere of hope rather than of kind of sadness, definitely.
Yeah.
And you look on the website, it's got some of the amazing stories of some of the women that, you know, the things they've overcome.
Yeah.
And very inspirational, some of their stories, actually, really are incredible.
I mean, I would imagine that Cancer Research must be one of the best supported charities in the UK.
Yeah.
I can't think of another one which would sort of surpass it, really.
They're the biggest cancer charity in the UK by a distance. But most of the money does come from the Race for Life, the kind of people on the street raising money for us, which is great.
Rattling the tins.
Yeah. And then, obviously, there's government funding, but the large proportion of the money does come from, like, Race for Life events. Yeah. So we really do need the support from these kind of events.
Yeah, but I was just thinking, you know, because there's so many charities out there sort of vying for attention and trying to get people to do, you know, events. But, you know, I think that most people would not sort of say no to supporting a cancer research one.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, otherwise we sort of pick and choose a bit.
Yeah, I mean, we support, the money goes to researching all 200 types of cancer. It covers everything.
Yeah.
And you really can tell the difference. And I mean, when I'm at uni, there's a building which is like basically the cancer. It's basically the cancer research building.
It's like come from that funding.
It's come from cancer research funding. The cancer research logo is on the outside, and that, I mean, it's a big uni, so it really does make a difference.
And what do you think some of the challenges are? Is it sort of continually getting, it's just kind of constantly having to sort of spread the word and getting the message out there? That's probably a big challenge, isn't it?
I mean, in terms of getting supporters?
Yeah,
it's just, I think it's just reminding people. Race for Life has been around for so long now. A lot of people have done them. It's kind of, and I think it's about getting young people involved and kind of aware of it, because I think a lot of times... I mean, obviously, cancer is more prevalent in older people, sadly. So I think a lot of older generations are aware of it, but maybe it's about getting more young people feeling like they want to volunteer. Like,
so you must be a great ambassador at University College London, mustn't you?
I try to be.
Spreading the message.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, young people are aware of cancer because it's everywhere, sadly. I mean, everyone has a cancer story. That's the horrifying thing. But I think... when I'm talking to people through this job, it's younger people, fewer of them have done races.
It's not to be confused with the moonwalk, is it?
Yeah.
The moonwalk's where they wear the bras, and that's a different thing.
Yeah, that's a different thing.
Is that cancer research, though? Is that another breast cancer charity?
So Cancer Research have Shine, which is our version of the moonwalk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But moonwalk is a completely different thing to cancer research.
Perhaps you shouldn't mention that.
It's okay. It's all for a good cause, isn't it?
That's true. I don't know which charity that is then, actually.
Shine is, I think it's a marathon through the night, but you walk it. Right. Apparently it's my manager, she says on the finish line, people just collapse. It's apparently a lot tougher than
you think
it is.
I have done that one.
Have you?
I haven't done, I can own up and say, I haven't done 26, I've done the 13.
Okay.
And I can remember thinking at the end of the 13, there's some people that are going to carry on for another 13, thinking, I don't think I could do it.
Because you have to deal with the kind of exhaustion
on
top of the...
It's during the night as well, so you're absolutely shattered.
So was this in London, walking through London, 13 miles? So I think that doesn't sound too bad, but...
No. It doesn't sound bad. I think it must be worse
in reality. It's because it's nighttime. It's a great atmosphere, though, because obviously it is London.
Yeah.
And you can see the lights, and there's few sort of people in the sidewalks, and that, but a lot of the roads are closed. But it's just a different... way to see London. It's quite nice.
I it does sound really appealing. I think I want to do that one at some point, definitely.
Would they mind you doing that one, though?
I do Shine, not the moonwalk.
Great.
Yes, good point.
So we've come to the end of our hour. We could talk to you all afternoon, Harriet, but sadly it's come to the end of our show. If there's anyone out there, any listeners thinking that they'd like to get involved, but maybe thinking, well, they don't know if they could run, they don't know if they could do it, or how well, you know, give us some ideas of what they should do. Should they just go for it, or should they just be a steward, or what would you suggest?
I would say just go for it. It's walk, run or jog. It's non-competitive. And it's just a really fun atmosphere. The majority of people do walk it on the day. It's not like we're running marathons. It is a challenge. And if you don't run, I don't run. So for me, it would be a challenge.
Yeah.
But it's non-competitive. It's just a lot of fun.
Brilliant. Well said. Thank you very much. That was Harriet Harcombe from Cancer Research Race for Life. And we'd like to thank all our guests on today's Just Women. That's Rachel Maunder from rachelmaunder.com, Elena Zanderson and Michelle Kaiser from smartworks.org.uk. And of course, as we said, Harriet Harcombe from Cancer Research Race for Life. And also I'd like to thank my co-presenter, Anne Twist.
Thanks, Ivana. And just to say, we're always on the lookout for local women to appear on our show, particularly those with interesting careers and life experiences. So if you know anyone who you think might like to join us, then please email their contact details to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk and we'll get in touch with them.
and hopefully get them on a future show. Details of all our past and future guests can be found on our website. That's brooklandsradio.co.uk/justwomen. And you can find us on Facebook too at /justwomen.br and Twitter at Brooklands Radio. So thank you for listening and join us again next week for Just Women at 1 o'clock on Tuesday, repeated 8 o'clock on Thursday. And it's goodbye from me, Ivana O'Brien.
And it's goodbye from me, Anne Twist.
And we're now going to play out with, very appropriately, Chariots of Fire by Vangelis.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio. You can join in by emailing any comments or questions you may have to justwomen@brooklandsradio.co.uk or check us out on Facebook. Search for Just Women at Brooklands Radio. Just Women is just what you need.